Hello and welcome back to the itinerary. Europe is done with. Just got back.
Schwartz Euro trip, summer 2019, RIP.
That's right. Hello, everybody. I'm Jared Schwartz.
I'm Melissa Schwartz.
You caught up on sleep. How's your jet lag doing?
Jet lag could be better. I woke up at 4:45 this morning.
Same.
But I went to bed at midnight. You went to bed at like 9:30. You're gonna lie and say 10, but it was 9:30.
I don't care what it was. I was tired because I was up 4 a.m. the previous day. I mean, it usually takes
life is tough.
Usually takes, I don't know, 4 or 5 days to get completely over
it. Well, we were away for 11 nights, so.
Yeah, and we have an exciting month of episodes in store for you. So over the next 4 weeks or so, we're going to hit you with all the stops that we made on this Euro trip, starting today with Sicily, which was our first stop on the trip. And then, obviously, as we go, we'll get into the other destinations as well. Our thanks last week, Justin Ross Lee came on the podcast. Man, he's an interesting character, to say the least, right?
He is.
I mean, he had the book come out a couple of years ago. He has the new website coming out, and he lives his life with no shame at all, that's for sure. And he is all about it. You know, he got up and left New York and now lives in Thailand for a couple of years.
Where does he live, Jared? Say it for me.
Koh Samui. Okay, I was close. An island off of mainland Thailand. But he was very entertaining to talk to. Like, I've been following his tricks for a while. Like, the guy used to use, like, the first-class lounge as an office legitimately. Went in there, bought a refundable first-class ticket, went in for 8 hours, ate the food, had the drinks, used the Wi-Fi, and at the end of his day, canceled the ticket and got his money back.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about that on the episode, but I remember you telling me about that a couple of years ago, and you're like, this kid is a genius.
Yeah, I mean, if you live close enough to the airport, like, and it's doable, like, it's not a bad thing to do. They've cracked down a little bit on those refundable tickets on the time frame of it, but, you know, when he started it, like, a few years ago, pretty genius.
I mean, if you do that combined with the TWA hotel at JFK during the summer, it's like a 5-star day.
Yeah, I mean, the TWA hotel, we saw it a couple days ago, right across the street.
Beautiful
from
outdoor pool.
Yeah, right across the street from Terminal 5 at JFK. So yeah, super convenient. So our thanks to Justin for coming on. If you want to go back to listen to that episode or any of the previous episodes, it's easy to do. Just search for The Itinerary where you're listening to this podcast, whether it's iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Just search for it, rate, review, subscribe, download the episodes, and that's the most important thing. We got some good feedback on Justin's episode. A lot of people were hitting me up saying, like, what a character he is and, you know, just how entertaining it was. And when you go a little further and you look at some of his pictures that are on his social media, you kind of see what we're talking about.
Yeah, there's a lot of personality in those photos.
Yeah, definitely. And that comes across as well.
He's like a little Scott Disick-like.
Oh, good comparison.
And I'm a big SD fan, so.
The Lord?
Yeah.
Who isn't? Yeah,
I
could see that comparison right there. So if you want to go listen to Justin's episode, you didn't get a chance to. Any of the other ones, easy to do. Just go back, rate, review, subscribe. 5 stars, of course. And most importantly, tell a friend. So, Sicily, first stop on this Euro trip. It's going to be a 4-part series for you. This is the first one.
And we're not telling you the next three. But
no, it's going to be a surprise.
Feel free to hit us up on social media or email if you can guess the next three stops.
Yeah, at The Itinerary Travel. That's the Instagram. That's where you can see our pictures and you can get in touch, send in a message as well. You ready to go?
Yeah. And you know what? If anyone gets it right, we will give
special prize.
I will give, since we are in the theme of travel, I will give a $50 gift card to an airline of that person.
What? Can I get in on this?
Of course you can. Not.
Okay. $50 on the line. So here's the easiest thing to do. Go to the Itinerary Travel on Instagram, follow us, and then send in a message as well, and you could be a winner.
Yeah. And so if you get any of our three destinations correct, we will give you that prize, and I will give you another clue that there are three destinations and two different countries.
Okay, that's it. No more clues after that.
Best of luck.
All right. Cicely, you ready?
We're ready.
Let's go. So this was a rather hard trip to plan, because we wanted to use points for it. And when we were looking, man, I don't even know, 8-9 months out.
September.
Yeah, a long time ago.
September of 2018 to go July 2019.
So we...
10 months.
Yeah, we decided to go to Sicily. There's a couple of different airports that you can travel to. We wanted to use Delta miles for it because we had those saved up. And so you think Sicily, you think probably summertime is the best time to go. And we wanted to fly business class. And out of like a 3-month stretch, I believe, there was one date that we were able to get business class seats that were actually affordable. And when I say affordable, I mean at the time, their lowest level was 86,000 miles for a one-way ticket. Now, with that being said, from New York, the easiest thing would be to fly to Rome and then connect. You could also go Milan if you want, and then connect and fly to Sicily. It's an hour flight. Easy, right? Well, the 86,000 miles was only available in business class if we made a detour and went to the great city of Atlanta, Georgia first.
Which is further from Italy.
Yeah, which is further, which is out of the way. I guess the one advantage is you get that flight first class because it's part of the business class ticket, but you know,
you also risk the risk of not making your connection.
You risk a lot of things. But that was the only
Can
way to do it.
Can you guys tell that Jared is half full and I'm half empty? I mean, every relationship has to have one, right? Jared's like, it was great. We got to sit in a first class seat that we didn't need to sit in. And I'm like,
well, if you're giving me the option of flying to Atlanta first class or coach, I'm going to take the first class seat. So it's like, yeah, it's inconvenient, but it's really, it's not awful.
It just makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense. But here's the thing. 86,000 miles to do it that way or 350,000 miles to not go to Atlanta.
Which to take that same trip, that same day, if we left out the Atlanta leg, that's what it would have cost, which is bananas.
So it's a no-brainer. You think as well, correct?
For that, yes.
Yeah.
I just don't know why they wouldn't want to resell those seats to
someone else. Let's save 280,000 miles
apiece.
A
person that we didn't have.
We don't have, anyways. and let's go to Georgia for a couple hours. So
check out Terminal 2 in Atlanta.
Yeah, why not? So that's what we did. And so it was a first class seat on a 757 to Atlanta. 3-hour connection in Atlanta, Atlanta to Rome on the A330, which is a typical aircraft that Delta uses to fly transatlantic. And the flight out there, as Melissa mentioned, was pretty long, 9.5, Atlanta to Rome. And then we get into the good stuff when we got to the Rome airport. But I'll just give you the full itinerary. Connected to Alitalia, which is a Delta partner. So it was on the same ticket, which is nice. And we only had an 1.5-hour connection in Rome. Luckily, our flight was on time. And then that's an hour trip on an A320, which is an all-coach class. So obviously, we booked a business class ticket. So the best they could do was the exit row. So that's what we had for that. And the flights were fine. They were on time. I feel like when you fly Delta or United or American overseas, you kind of know what you're getting. It's really the same story every time. If you're lucky to get, you know, one of the newer planes, in Delta's case, the A350, or something like that, or a Dreamliner for United, you know, that's a nice perk. But the service is always pretty much the same. And those seats, the reverse herringbone seats, the same as well. So everybody likes a lie flat seat. ATL, not Atlanta, but this is our new thing, ATL.
Always turn left.
Always turn left. And if any of you fly overseas, usually know that you board through that second door, not the first one, but the second one, so you have an option. You either go left for business or right for coach. So ATL, always turn left, hashtag ATL. Let's get into some of the issues that we had.
Oh, there were many.
Okay, so duty-free store, we wanted to stock up on liquor.
I think we should go back to JFK when we were being checked.
Yes, yes, good point. Let's go back to right when we got into Terminal 4 at JFK, and our lovely attendant, Jonathan, at the Delta One check-in counter was giving us his travel itineraries, which were not even asked for at all.
His family pictures.
Yeah. Anywho, so when you're connecting and you're traveling internationally, sometimes it gets a little cloudy with, do we have to go retrieve our bags and go check them back in? Sometimes yes, sometimes no, depending on the country that you're going to, depending on the ticket that you're on.
See, my understanding is always that if it's the same ticket, you don't have to retrieve your bags.
Not true. Not true.
Okay.
We've done it before where certain places you do have to.
I can't recall one, but go on.
Okay. So we ask.
We don't ask. He tells us.
Or he tells us, okay, that in Rome, you're going to have to go to baggage claim, get your bags, and recheck them in for the Alitalia flight. So we confirmed with him not once but twice and just made sure, because this was an hour and a half connection time. So super tight in the grand scheme of things.
At best, it's super tight.
You're always, you're going to have to go, you're going to have to go through immigration. That always takes some time, longer or shorter, depending, you know, which airport you're in. So, okay, so we go to Rome, we go through, you know, customs, give our passports, and then we go to baggage claims, because that's what we're told. And when you're flying business, you have the priority, so your bags are supposed to come out first or close to first, something like that. While we're standing there for, I don't know, 15 minutes or so, bags are coming off. I don't know any other time that we've flown business where the bags didn't come out in the first 5 minutes, say.
Oh, yeah.
So standing there for 15, maybe 20, we're like looking at each other, like, where the hell are these things? You have on your app the bag tag so you can check where it is. It still says, for me, it's on the plane. So that doesn't help a lot. And we got to make a decision on what we're going to do, because if we just stand here longer, we're going to miss the connection. So luckily there had been a woman, I don't know if she worked for Delta or Alitalia or the airport. She had a list in front of her and she had a walkie-talkie. So if somebody has a walkie-talkie,
they're legit in Jared's mind.
Yeah, they're big time. So she had the walkie-talkie. And everybody likes a good walkie-talkie. And so I asked her, I said, yeah, this is the situation, like, here's my bag tag. And she had a scanner, luckily, there. So in the system, she goes, no, this is checked all the way through to Sicily. And I said, are you sure? Because, like, we need to make this flight. I don't want to leave the bags. If it comes out in 2 minutes, like, we're going to be screwed. She goes, no, it was checked all the way through. And I said, okay, that would have been good to know from, you know, the Delta guy back at JFK 17 hours ago. But whatever. So we have to go. And so no bags. Now we have to go back outside through security again. And we had, as I was mentioning before, we bought duty-free liquor in Atlanta.
I don't think you mentioned that.
Well, before. Anyways, so we had duty-free liquor. And security stopped us because the box was not fully, it wasn't even a box, it was a plastic bag, was not fully sealed. Well, we bought the liquor, they give it to you at the gate when you're getting on, and it was stapled. The bag was stapled like 4 times together. The security screener, it's not TSA over there, but whatever they have, ripped the bag open to look what was inside of it, okay, had about a 7 or 8 minute discussion with her supervisor at the x-ray machine, and then came back and said, yeah, you can't take this on, it's not fully sealed. And I said, well, obviously it's not fully sealed because you just ripped it open. And she denied it. I saw her do it. And I'm like, what's the point here? Like, can we take liquor on? You're like, yes, if it's totally sealed. I said, okay, do you want to seal the bag? Like, what do you want to do in this instance? And they basically said, no, you have to throw it out.
Like, here's the thing. Luckily, I am a cheap date, and I like cheap wine. I think the wine we purchased was like $13 a bottle. So
not the point.
We were in it for $40. My point is, what if we bought like very expensive liquor? What would we have done? We wouldn't have had time to check it. We would have had to throw it out.
No. And you gave it a good fight.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
Like, I didn't want you to cross the line because we didn't want
to
get
there's always a thin line
kicked out of the airport.
Defending.
You were close because, like, you were asking for supervisors. They were saying the same thing. You didn't care. You would keep on going. And then at a certain point, I had to, like, pull your arm and be like, bring you back
you're
in.
Like, snap out of it. It's $40.
Yeah. And, like, come on. It's really not a big deal.
I just don't like feeling like I'm getting ripped off or taken advantage of. And I felt like they wanted us to buy from the Rome airport, which is unfortunately what we had to do because the hotel we stayed at, it would have been $40 a glass of wine.
So speaking of that, we go into the terminal, duty-free store number 2, pick up our purchases. It was the same thing, 2 bottles of wine, 1 bottle of liquor. And they go, you can't take super alcohol to Sicily.
It's a rule.
It's a rule. And we like, look at each other, and I go, what the hell is super alcohol? We had 2 bottles of wine and a bottle of limoncello. I didn't know limoncello was super alcohol, but apparently anything over 15%.
Weren't you like, this isn't 151, it's a liqueur?
That's what I thought super alcohol was. I was like, it's not even vodka or tequila or anything. So we looked at each other and we're like, what the hell is super alcohol? Anything over 15%. So is anything
but wine
you can't bring for some reason? I have not confirmed if this is the case, but this is what they told us in the duty-free store in the Rome airport. So 3 bottles minus 1 because that one was out. So took the 2 bottles of wine, got on the plane, made the connection. Boom. We're there.
You want to go back to your nut poisoning?
It wasn't nut poisoning, but
well, I want
there was an issue.
I want you to describe this character.
Oh, my boy?
Yeah.
So this is the second or third time we've had the same flight attendant.
And
Melissa
guys,
doesn't remember him, but
well,
I do.
If you got, like, I'm mad at myself because when Jared describes him, you'll be like, how did you ever forget him? So I also want to hear from people if they've had this guy.
Yeah, if you've had this guy in Delta One.
Hit us up.
Yeah, let us know. So he is he's a short man, 5'7" probably. His defining characteristic is he wears these dark sunglasses for the entire flight. He's obviously not blind because he's walking.
He could potentially have cataracts.
He could have something, but his signature is these dark glasses that he wears inside even when it's dark all the time. And I noticed him right away. I'm like, oh, boom. Had you know, a couple months ago, a couple weeks ago, whatever the case may be, I know he works the Delta One cabin. So I point this out to Melissa, and she's like, I have no idea who that guy is. I'm like, yeah, you do. Come on. He's been on our flights. There was a bunch of nuts on the menu, which unfortunately there usually is. I'm allergic, as were 5 other people in the Delta One cabin, we found out.
Including this younger boy that was sitting behind me, I envy anyone that's in single digits that's flying in Delta One, but his parents were not sitting by him, and so I had heard that he had a nut allergy.
Right.
Continue.
It was really, I mean, they brought over the nuts a couple of times, and I had to say no. They put it down one time, I said no again, but really the issue came on your side with the guy with the dessert, because during their signature Sunday
bar,
ice cream Sunday bar, there were nuts that he gave and he thought they were cookie crumbles.
He told me they were cookie. I specifically asked him what they were because they looked like almond slivers, and he said, oh no. And I asked him and he said, no, they're cookie crumbs. And I said, okay, I like cookie crumbs, I'll have cookie crumbs. I immediately put it in my mouth and I flip out. I like spring up to make sure that this little boy behind me is not eating the sundae. I look at Jared and I go up to this man to let him know, and he's like, oh, whatever.
Yeah, he didn't care.
He didn't give a shit.
Right.
And like, I just want to say, anyone who has a disability, like, I'm all for you having a job, but if it interferes with you being able to identify the food that you're serving, because you're wearing, like, blackout shades on your eyes, you probably shouldn't be in this job.
Who were you more pissed at, him or the security screeners at the Rome airport? Tough, right?
I mean, I think nut allergies are extremely serious. And the fact that he showed no remorse, didn't apologize, and just avoided me for the duration of the flight.
Really, oh, he wouldn't even really, speak to you?
No, he had the other woman work, like...
So did he, like, we were in row 4, did he work rows 1 through 3 and then rows 5 through 8 and just skip you?
Well, what happened was, is that the woman, like, heard our conversation and she asked if everything was okay. And I was basically like, does it seem like everything's okay? Like, he's going, like... The majority of this cabin has a nut allergy. He's going around saying that these are cookies when they're really nuts. Like, forget about that you are, like, my primary concern in life. Who wants to do an emergency landing because someone is, you know, going into anaphylactic shock?
No, I mean...
It's, like, a really serious issue.
It's a serious thing. A diversion costs a ton of money as well. So, like, obviously, if it can be avoided, the airline...
And Delta,
we
are still waiting to hear from you.
We flew
July 29th. It is now August 11th.
We'll hear that. I'm not worried about that. Okay, so we land in Catania. That was the city that
there are a couple of airports in Sicily. Catania, Palermo. I think there's another one. We knew we wanted to fly to Catania because all the luxury hotels are in Taormina. And we like luxury hotels, so that's where we were flying into.
I just want to clear things up for anybody who was wondering or asking. We were not at the Google European Beach Bash that housed Barack Obama, Leonardo DiCaprio.
No, it's so ironic because
Prince
Harry. It was for the environment, but they all flew on their private jets. So
I did see that.
How's that for irony?
So they were on one side, we were on the other because. Obviously, the celebrity is just so big between, you know, the six of us that we had to spread it out. So we were on the eastern part, and we talked about a company that we use a lot called GetTransfer. That's who picked us up at the airport for the 45-minute
drive. If you
guys
are not using GetTransfer, when we travel to a lot of these places, there is an Uber, and 9 out of 10 times GetTransfer is less expensive than Uber. And the only other option is renting a car, which, like, in these tiny places, I honestly would not recommend. Or you go through your hotel, and, like, here's the thing. Our transfers both ways from the Catania airport to our hotel in Taormina, it was, what would you say, an hour drive?
Give or take.
It was $80 from GetTransfer, and it was $200 each way via our hotel.
Yikes.
And, like, we were, what, picked up in an Audi within 2 years going back to the airport.
Yeah, new
Mercedes.
Cars. Yeah.
I mean, you select the car you want.
Right.
So.
So took the drive there. Catania, not a very built up town at all. I don't know what I was expecting when I got off. But it definitely seemed more islandy, I would say, than like mainland Italy.
Mm-hmm.
We've been to a bunch of different places in Italy. This was something new and different. And I felt more like I was on an island because that's pretty much what it is. At the southern, you know, tip of Italy. You mentioned Taormina. It's really a hilltop town on the east coast. It sits near Mount Etna. When you fly in, actually, you go around the mountain. It's an active volcano, which happened to erupt a couple of days before we were there. The airport did shut down, but mostly the area right around the volcano is uninhabited, so it's not really a big deal when it does erupt for tourists, except for, you know, obviously the airport closing for a couple hours. But besides that, so you get a good view of that, and then we get to the town. Which you mentioned, Taormina, it only has 10,000 people or so as the population, but it's a big tourist town. A couple of cruise ships were there every day. It was interesting to see. It's really known for the Greco-Roman Theater, which is still active today. It was right next to our hotel. And it's interesting, the dynamic. We'll talk about the town more, but let's get into where we stayed. This was a Belmont property, which I think is one of the best in the world. We've stayed at a couple of them. There are 7 in Italy. There's 2 in the U.S., 1 in Charleston, 1 in Santa Barbara. But this one, the Belmont Grand Hotel Tomeo.
Yes.
Yeah, in Taormina. And this was a beautiful property. It's kind of interesting when you, to get there, you go through the town and you have to drive through all these pedestrian streets. There's really no cars there, but you have to do it to get, you know, to the hotel. What was your thinking in booking this, and when you stepped out of the car onto the property and you you saw the space, what'd you think?
It's kind of boutique-y when you first drive up because it's very expansive. So when I first drove up, I was like, oh, this is not kind of like what the pictures I saw. But then as soon as I walked inside, I saw how everything spread out and you're on top of all these cliffs. But so there are 2 Belvin hotels in Taormina. And so one is like on the cliffs, which I think is very reminiscent of like what the Amalfi Coast looks like, how the hotels are, you know, we stayed in La Serenu and Positano, and I definitely agreed with you when we were speaking during the trip that you thought there were a lot of similarities. And then the other hotel is Villa San Andrea, which is down by the beach. And I was having a hard time deciding which hotel to stay at. Normally I go with like the least expensive one, and dollar for dollar, they were the same exact price, both very expensive. But I gave you the final say, but something I loved about these properties was that they provided a shuttle service. What was it, like every 15, 20 minutes? So we were able to do like a beach day one day at the other hotel. And so anything that I felt that our hotel lacked, the other one had. And it was nice because you got like a different change of scenery, and, you know, everything is cashless. So, you know, we were able to have lunch right overlooking the water at the other hotel. And it was basically like it was still our hotel.
Yeah, I agree with you. If you've been listening to this podcast and previous episodes, you know, I'm mostly about the view. Give me a nice room with a view. Boom, done. So I made the decision to stay at this one because it's elevated on the hill, and I think you get more dramatic views. A lot of the hotel is based upon their deck, where they have an outdoor bar, they have an two outdoor restaurants, the pool is up there, and it reminded me of the Amalfi Coast, just along the rocks and how high up you were. So I like the decision. I thought the property was really nice. The pool was a little small. Like, it was fine when you were in there, but it wasn't, like, in the right place. It wasn't on the edge of the cliff. And when
Jared,
you have...
Jared wants an infinity pool always.
I do. I think that's, like, if you're staying at a place for a couple of days and you have good weather, that's something that's important. At least to me, it's important. I don't know how you feel about it. But
I just love how discerning you've become.
Yeah. I mean, we were in the pool, and we were discussing if this pool was moved 20 feet, you know, to the right, you would have sick, unobstructed views. And that's not only, like, you can't always do that just because of the construction, but when you were in the pool, you couldn't really see anything. But when you were standing up outside of the pool, you could. So that's what I noticed. I gotta say, the staff was excellent there. We were only there for 3 nights. One of those, the first night, really on any overseas trip, it's a wash because you're so tired that you really just go to sleep. And we'll get into what we did, you know, each day, kind of. But by the first hour that we were there, any staff that we encountered knew our name, which is pretty impressive. They have so many people coming and going. The pool staff knew it. The bartenders knew it. The receptionists knew it. So that's like a little thing. And then at the pool, they gave out free gelato.
They did.
During the afternoon. And it wasn't
at
like...
At first, I thought it was because the guy thought I was cute. But then he gave Jared free gelato also.
Maybe he thought I was cute, too.
And My feelings were hurt, but it's okay.
And it wasn't just like, oh, we're coming around with like a spoonful of our flavor of the day. It was legit. Like, you had six different flavors you could choose from. So that was a nice little touch there. What'd you think of the rooms?
I think that was my favorite room of the trip. I really liked it.
It was nice. There was a terrace there too. Modern on the inside, kind of old school in the hallways, as you would expect in Italy, I think.
Not too modern though.
No, like it had charm, I would say. So we ate at the hotel restaurant the first night.
Which is something we always do the first night, where in a place where there's a significant time change.
Yeah, I mean, you sleep on flights, I don't. So we got to the hotel after that drive. I wanted to take a shower and take a nap. You went to the pool right away, which is fine. I set an alarm. We got up. We went to an 8 o'clock dinner. The food was what you would expect, I think. It was overpriced, small portions, but pretty tasty.
Tortellini that night, and there were literally 5 pieces on my plate.
Yeah, that was very small. I had one of their signature dishes for the area, which is pasta with sardines, which I've kind of, not really sardines, but more anchovies I've gotten into over the last couple of years. It's a very, obviously, strong and distinct taste. I enjoy it. I know you don't. But there, they're known for sardines, so I'm like, okay, I'll try it.
When in Italy?
Yeah, sardines are bigger and fattier. I don't like the taste as much, but... it was just in the sauce here, and it's one of their dishes that the area is known for, so I figured, okay, I'll try it. It was really good.
But we discovered something. Scampi, which is not the scampi that we have in the U.S. So their shrimp scampi is raw shrimp. And a lot of people think that when you eat shrimp cocktail that the shrimp is raw. The shrimp is not raw.
Who thinks shrimp cocktail is raw?
I hear it a lot.
Amateur hour.
But so anyway, so these shrimp are really more... prawns. They're triple the size.
They're huge
and they're raw, and they are drizzled with, what would you say, olive oil and sea salt, and they are delicious.
Yeah, it's just super fresh and simple. A little olive oil, a little sea salt, maybe a little garlic, and that's it. Yeah,
everywhere we went after that, and luckily we tried it the first night, and right. So every time we had a meal after that,
so we
that
did
was,
yeah, we tried it at the hotel, we're like, oh, this is great. And then we just ordered more
and
more from there.
And then we had it in the streets for a quarter of the price.
Pretty much. One thing before we get on to, like, the other food and stuff that we did, I want to talk about the bill a little bit. And it started at... It was really a hotel type of thing. So, obviously, you can charge it to the room. But you never know what the bill is going to say. So...
This is like a pattern, though.
Yes.
At these type of places.
Right. Where they say, okay, you're all good. And I'm like, no, I want to see the check. Like, I don't care if, like, it's automatically charged to the room. I still want to see a receipt. Because, like, a lot of the time they input things wrong, or they charge you for extras, or you get a 7 euro glass of wine and they charge you for a 37 euro glass of wine. And how are you going to know? And then by the end of the trip, you probably don't even remember. So, of course, like, I want to see it. And so, reluctantly, they do bring it. Of course, something is wrong, so we get it, you know, corrected. But, like, they were giving us a hard time about bringing, like, a check over just to check it out. No pun intended.
Yeah.
So that was kind of annoying because it happened multiple times. But that was just the start of it. So every meal after that, of course, we asked for it. We were going to do it anyways, but just to make sure. And I believe every single time there was an issue
yes.
with it. So it's good, and, you know, that's a tip. Like, if you're traveling overseas and they're like, oh, no, this is just like Club Med. You just, you know, charge whatever you want, and you're going to bill at the end. No. Like, check it out. Review. Make sure, like, what you ordered is there. It's the right price and everything like that. You want to get into, like, some of the other places that we ate at?
Sure.
Okay, so that was the first night. Hotel, safe, easy. The second night, we did happy hour drinks on the deck. They have a piano player every night. Good time there. The first row of tables are reserved for hotel guests. So if you are staying at that hotel, get your butt up there, because that has the best view. And then it was our first experience walking into town. So you're staying at this luxurious 5-star hotel. It's pretty quiet. And then you walk outside here and, like, you've stepped into a different area. It was pretty astounding the amount of people that were on the streets of Taormina. And we made our way down the main thoroughfare, which was right near our hotel, because that's where we needed to walk. But, like, you're bumping elbows with everybody. Mm-hmm. Is that what you expected?
So, yes, only because when people asked where we were staying, they had such strong opinions that we shouldn't stay in Taormina because it's so touristy. But when I did research on the nicest hotels in Sicily, that's where they were. So I was like, we will make do. And part of the issue is that they have a lot of cruises that dock in Taormina. And with the cruise industry, I mean, I'm going off on a bit of a tangent, but to try and encourage people to continue taking cruises,
right,
they do overnight stops in these places. Because a lot of people feel the way I do about cruises is that you lose, like, the authenticity of the places you're going to because you're not able to experience evenings in those places.
Okay, before we get into where we ate, I just want to go back for a second because this just popped into my mind. And if you were following us on Instagram at The Itinerary Travel, which you should do if you're not, you saw these pictures of this.
I was waiting for you to mention your friend.
Okay. I don't know his name, but if you've seen any of the pictures or the videos that we put up, he's about 9 years old. He was decked out in white pants.
Wait, you know who he also reminds me of? Like a little Scott Disick.
I can see that as well. There's a pattern going on. Okay, white pants, loafers, no socks, and a blazer.
And you will admit that he is better dressed than you are, correct?
100%.
Okay.
It's not even close.
Okay.
But, like, that's not my style.
I'm just going to say, like, his wife in 25 years is not going to have to yell at him and fight with him to iron
25 years, he's going to dress like he's 75.
I'm talking about the ironing of the shirts before dinner.
Whatever.
Anyway,
so he's there by himself, sipping what could only be a Shirley Temple. And he's on his cell phone for about 45 minutes.
Yelling.
I thought, like, a big merger went wrong or something, and he
at Tyco or Legoland.
Yeah, whoever he's in charge of, and he's just giving orders left and right, sitting there sipping the Shirley Temple. I'm like afraid for him because I don't want the white pants to be ruined if he spilled something on it. And then the only real interaction we got with him, this is something important to know. There is a bee problem in. In Taormina, and they are all over the place. Like, you're sitting outside the deck, on the deck. It's a lovely view. It's a lovely night, and you are swarmed with bumblebees.
It's weird, though. They don't make the buzzing sound, so to me, they are, and we should have looked this up, to me, they are not as threatening when they don't make that sound. So I kind of, like, in my mind, I was like, oh, they won't sting me, so I would just, like, swat them more than I would normally hear. But I think this kid must be VIP because they gave you these electric paddles where you could essentially electrocute them. I got a lot of DMs on my personal account that bees are an endangered species, but I think that these are different, these are a different bee all on its own. Cause like there is no endangerment going on there. They are thriving. So this kid must be a VIP because don't you remember the guy who works at the hotel took our electrocution device away from us to give to him.
Yeah.
And we were like, what the actual fuck? Like, we were using that. He basically, like, took it out of your hand.
Yeah, he wanted this kid to have the device to kill the bees. And the kid didn't want to use it because he was so scared. He said, I don't like electrocution.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, who does? And then... yeah, it was just, we just wanted to know, like, you people watch sometimes, and you're like, oh, what's this person's story?
He was the most fascinating person we've ever seen.
I overheard him say to the waiter that he lives in Ukraine, but he summers in Sicily, and he prefers it here. So, I don't know what the backstory is. an older woman who I'm going to assume is his mother.
There were additional run-ins, though.
Like, yeah, well, wait. It came in about 45 minutes later, and then they went on their way. But, yeah, there were. You said there were additional run-ins, so we saw them two or three more times. He was at the front desk making dinner reservations, which I mean, hey, more power to him. 9 years old, making dinner reservations and getting directions on the map to get to these places. And then we saw him another time at breakfast and brunch at the other hotel as well. So if you're out there and you're listening.
And you're allowed to listen to our podcast.
Yeah, contact us at The Itinerary Travel. We want to know your story and we want to have you on as a guest. Okay. Anyways, so we walk 15 minutes to dinner. Osteria Nero Deovla? Am I pronouncing that right?
I would say Devola.
Okay. This was written up in the New York Times, and we wanted to go because we wanted like authentic Sicilian food, and this got great reviews. So,
Shelby Kelleher. Shout out to you. Thank you for recommending it.
Okay. And, yeah, we got the scampi again. And this was one of the best things I ate on the trip. Mm-hmm. Now, the scampi at the hotel was just like a little taste, a little preview. This was the real deal. This was, if you want to say that was three times, you know, the size of prawns you get in the U.S., this was seven times the size of prawns. Just so fresh, flavorful. We also got the octopus. And you said you actually got the best...
I wrote it down.
Best meatballs you've ever eaten in your life.
So they were called lemon meatballs, and they were not in tomato sauce. They were on their own. And I think that, you know, meatballs, it's scraps of beef, essentially. But so, because you have sauce. And so the sauce basically is the main flavor, right? These had no sauce, so I think that they used a better quality of meat, and so they were just so tender, so tasty. I also don't really eat red meat anymore, so I think anytime I do, I'm like, oh, this is amazing. So maybe there's like a little of that going on.
They were very good. They weren't the best meatballs I've ever eaten, but I can see why you're saying that. They were different.
They were
the
really
sauce
good.
Was really good. And yeah, affordable wine as well. It was like €3 a glass. So super good place. I would recommend
it. Less than
it.
That. We got a carafe for €6, which was like
crazy.
It was 2 glasses a person.
Yeah. So that was the first full day there. And then we had another full day there, which we went to that other property you were talking about. So they have the shuttle every 20 minutes, about a 15-minute drive or so. They have an infinity pool there, but you're on the beach, so it's a different perspective. It's really nice. It's just different. And we ate lunch there, and one of the funny things, going back to like the bill again, is they offered you a glass of champagne to start. And usually, because we've had this happen before, you usually ask what the price is. Even though, like, you know, maybe...
They asked if I wanted Krug or Blanc de Blanc. And so Krug, I know, is, like, very expensive champagne. I've never had Blanc de Blanc that was sparkling before. So I just assumed that the Blanc de Blanc was their house wine, which was incorrect on my part.
€33 a glass.
And I had 2 glasses. So that was a €66 mistake, which is, like, 80-some-odd dollars.
One of the good things is, like, obviously we saw the bill... We explained it to the waiter, and he immediately took one of them off.
Jared also had $46 worth of Aperol spritzes.
So?
€46 worth, yeah.
So?
We had an expensive lunch.
That's what it was.
We were Schwartz's who lunched that day.
Yeah. So what was interesting was those Aperol spritzes were not on the bill either, but they ended up being on the final bill.
Oh, they caught up with us.
Yeah, that was interesting too. We're like, oh, maybe we're getting these 4 drinks for just 33 euros.
And I was like, that's great.
No.
Which is why you should always use Get Transfer, you should always check your bill, and you should always hit up the duty-free liquor store. If you learn anything from this episode, those 3 things.
And if it doesn't work the first time, go a second time to the duty-free store. So one of the main things, we not only went to this property to check it out and to eat lunch, but both hotels give you an opportunity for a free boat tour, which you go on with either 6 or 8 other people. And it's basically an hour and a half boat cruise around the island. Pretty cool.
Yeah, and they give you refreshments.
Yeah, a driver and a tour guide, so they point out all the different sites. We had 2 other couples, one from Hong Kong and one from England.
Correct.
On there, I think. And, yeah, it was very... I mean, that's probably, I don't know, 100 euros, 150 euros a person, probably, if you, you know, bought it on the outside. So, a great value. It booked up really fast. So, when we got there, we made the reservation, and then we tried to adjust it the day before, and they were like, yeah, it's completely sold out, and there's a waiting list for each time. It went 3 different times, 2 in the morning, 1 in the afternoon. And they stopped. You could jump off. You could go swim. And the whole thing was pretty cool, just a different perspective around the island. So a great incentive to stay there, I think. And it was really nice. Then the last night for dinner, we went to another place in town.
Malvasia. So a trattoria.
Yeah. I would say a little, not more casual than the first night, but just a little bit under.
I would say the food wasn't as sophisticated, which is totally fine.
Right.
Like this night, I had pesto. I am a pesto fanatic. They love their nuts in Sicily. Obviously, pesto typically is made with pine nuts. In Sicily, it is... the way you're supposed to make it is with almonds and tomato, so the sauce is going to be more red, which I found interesting. And then also their cannolis are always with pistachios, so unfortunately Jared wasn't able to have any cannolis.
There were so many nuts that everything was made with. It's kind of annoying. Like, even the dishes that I wanted that I didn't think would have nuts, they had nuts in the sauce. I give them credit because everybody was pretty careful, not like on the flight. That
some places we went, it just got really funny. Like, they didn't know how to say cross contamination, so they said contaminated, and they were like, and they were so happy to be telling us this, and they were like, eat it, because it was clearly they were saying that there were no nuts, but it was cross contamination.
If there were 10 things on the menu, probably 8 of them had nuts in it.
Yeah.
So, and they couldn't really do it without. Which was annoying. And the cannolis, like, I didn't even eat a cannoli in Sicily, which I wanted to, because if you get them here, it's just like the ricotta filling. There's no nuts in it at all. But all of theirs had pistachios in it. So annoying, but whatever, got over it. I had the seafood risotto. We had the seafood salad. We had buffalo mozzarella. And a bottle of wine also. And it was under $100 total, so... super great deal there. So a lot of great value if you stay at that hotel right in the town. Easy access, don't have to take a taxi, which is nice. I always like that. That's pretty much the Sicily trip. Let's go passport stamps here. So 0 through 10, Sicily, what would you give it?
9.6.
That's pretty high.
Yeah.
Why would you say 9.6? I think that's like one of the highest scores you've given.
You seem surprised. I loved Sicily. I loved it. I find that when you stay at really nice hotels, they're purposely so far away that you don't have the luxury of walking into town and experiencing different cuisine, and it becomes like this like whole production if you want to do so. So I love the fact that we were able to just walk 5 minutes, go to dinner. We still had this beautiful hotel to stay at. We also had the option of going to the other hotel, which was right on the beach. And so you still had these like beautiful beach chairs, and we were able to go on the boat, and we didn't have to pay a boatload of money to do so. I also thought that their breakfast in the morning, which we didn't cover, was really good, and it comes with the room rate. A lot of these hotels, I would encourage people to confirm, because in Europe, I found that like breakfast is always included, and sometimes they don't tell you that.
we've had that happen a couple of times.
Yeah.
But yeah, these nice hotels in Europe, breakfast is usually included, and it's a big spread as well. You can also order off the menu if you want. So.
Which is not an additional cost.
Right, which is nice.
And they have, like, champagne, so you can make mimosas. Yeah. And, oh, I love seafood. So...
Who doesn't?
There are a lot of people that don't love seafood, but we love seafood, yeah. So the food was amazing, which I thought it would be. I mean, honestly, the only thing that would have been nice is if they would have had some, like, designer stores, because, like, the euro is not very strong right now, so, like...
I'll just be over here rolling my eyes.
I mean, I did do some damage in another place we went to, and I will leave it at that, but, yeah, I think that the only thing that I felt it was missing was, like, some luxury shopping.
Okay, 9-6 passport stamps for you. I'll go pretty similar. I'll go 9-5-5. I don't know why I gave the 9-5-5, but, I really enjoyed it. We've been to Italy.
This is our third time. Italy is, even within the United States, Italy is the place that we've gone to the most times.
I enjoy going there. I think every place is a little different, but pretty similar, if that makes sense. You get like this homey feel there. And not only was the Belmont super nice, but I liked, like, the authentic experience of going to these restaurants, and it was easy to do, where you just walk there. The food, as you mentioned, the seafood was super fresh. Just everything. I had pasta with sardines. I had uni. We had the scampi, seafood salad, risotto.
Pesto.
You're not, like, one thing we didn't have was was Sicilian pizza. Just, I don't know. That's probably a whole nother podcast we can get into.
Well, we did have pizza in Sicily. It's not Sicilian pizza the way we know it.
And I don't particularly care for Italian pizza, Neapolitan style. I know you do.
I think Sicilian pizza is like an American
thing. I agree.
Yeah.
So we didn't do that outside of one time. But, yeah, I enjoyed it. Yeah, this food was some of the best I've had. Didn't disappoint. It was a cool place. Good views, good vibes.
Speaking of views, Mount Etna, like, we're having drinks, and it's right there.
Yeah, it's right there. It's beautiful sights.
Stay at our hotel or go for drinks. You don't need to take the Mount Etna tour.
And that's Sicily.
Thanks, guys. Ciao!
So, that was the first leg of the month-long European journey. We hope you enjoyed Sicily. We certainly did. Remember, if you want to go back and listen to any of the previous episodes, just type in the itinerary, download it, be a subscriber, write a review, 5 stars, all that. And then, most importantly, spread the word, tell a friend. Melissa mentioned something in the intro that we want to get back to, so we have 3 other episodes coming up. We have a prize on the line. We have a prize. So this is what you have to do. You have to go to Instagram and follow at the Itinerary Travel. Once you're a follower, send us a message.
You can't do that. You
can't
have
do what?
No, because then they're gonna see where we were.
I don't care. just go, follow us, send a message, and tell us what the next destination is going to be, right? Did I say that right?
Yeah, but now I'm going to have to change the rules a little bit.
Okay, because, what are your rules?
Okay, you're going to have to tell us the airline we flew to get to those places, because that we did not include.
Okay, fair enough. So do that, and send
and you'll get a $50. The first person to do so will get a $50 gift card to the airline of their choice, and I will name it on Instagram so you know that we are legit.
Okay. Will do.
And Jared, you cannot enter.
Damn it! Really wanted to. Want that prize.
I'm your prize.
Anyways, so that's the show. Thanks so much for listening. We'll look for you next week. Get in touch. you may win a prize. See ya.
Ciao.